Today on the Cameron Journal podcast, we are speaking with Bald Solomon. He is the author of the Path Unguided series. And this latest one is called Path Unguided, Grieving Your Father's Death. And it's a novel, and we're going to talk about self-discovery and healing. Literally, the story centers around Delilah, a woman grappling with grief and change following the sudden death of her childhood friend turned love interest. And as she fights along trying to solve a local problem and her own problems, she obviously uncovers her own issues in life. And this is a deeply personal sort of thing for the author as well. So I'm sure we'll hear all about that. So welcome to the Cameron Journal podcast.
Well, thank you, Cameron. I'm pleased to be here. I appreciate it.
Good, good, good. So, this should be fun. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the book and kind of what we expect when we open the first page, and we'll go from there.
I will. Thank you. So first of all, this book, Path Unguided, is part of the whole series that I call the Path series. And when you say what to expect, that's been the most fun part. It's a story. It's just a great story. It's a page turner. I was talking to somebody this morning that said she finished it in two settings. She stayed up till 2 in the morning twice. So it's a great, just fun action intrigue story. Yet the challenge is it's also almost a self, I call it self-help fiction. It's guided towards a particular period in your life, in this case, your dad dying, and it helps you through that. So you'll see yourself in one of the characters. You'll see how the characters react, and it'll force you, encourage you to ask questions of yourself. So it's just a story, but it'll help you through a period in time. It is in this case, as you're when your dad dies, there's things we all would process. So the Path series is a group of books that hit all of the major events in most of our lives in the human experience: falling in love, moving out, having a baby, getting married, your father dying. So there's all these events that frankly shaped me as a child or as an adult, and likely shaped many, many others and have for generations. So it's my way of helping people through life. That's what this is.
No, how fascinating. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to write these books?
Hey, that's great. So first of all, I run a small business, family business. We make equipment for the food industry. My writing career started late in life. I'm 61 years old. I just published my first books last year. Yet I've been talking about it and thinking about it for probably 20 years. And I always had this idea, but it was too big. Every time I would start, it just seemed just such a big job, almost like the meaning of life. I couldn't get there. So what I did is I finally created a format that is takes it and slices it up. So each one of these books is a sliver of life, not your whole life. So finally, I've got a vehicle that I can tackle, that I can do a great job with, and you can get through as a reader. So for me, my writing journey has started late in life, actually getting it done, but I've been formulating it for many, many years. So it's fun for me. The creative process is a wild thing for me.
Yeah. What helps inspire you in the switch from food equipment to writing?
Hey, yeah, so I'm a trained engineer, and that is as far away from, in my books, from a creative writing of books. So what it is it allows me to open my mind to the creative journey. Okay. Many nights I'll sit out under the stars and just let go, let my mind wander. And I'll be working on three or four different, not knowing I was working on three or four different books at the same time. And the pieces just come. When you see the stars and see the vastness of the universe, your mind is a my mind is able to go in ways I wasn't expecting. And I really just try to get in touch with who I am as a person and how that might be the same as the other people that came before me, my dad and his dad before him, and my daughter and her daughter after that. So it's a journey. It really is.
Yeah, no, that certainly is the case. Now, when it comes to writing, I always like to talk about process when it comes to this sort of thing. Tell us a little bit about yours. Are you a meticulous planner? Do you just kind of write stuff down and glue it together later? How does that look for you?
Yeah, great question. I always start with the characters. I think what kind of character do I need? I really define that character. I get to know that character. I base it typically around somebody in the Bible. So I'll find a character in the Bible that exhibits many of the things that I want. And then I really think through and if you will, modernize the character. I think through his strengths and his weaknesses, his motivations. I think through is he an introvert or an extrovert? So I really get to know the characters. And then once I choose a situation, then I just throw the characters in. After that, I let it happen. Okay. Once you know your characters, the writing's the easy part. So I'm not a meticulous planner. I'm a meticulous creator. I get the characters to be so alive in my mind that the writing is the easy part. It just comes out. So just give them a situation and they'll react. That's how I do it.
That's very interesting. That is, you make it sound so easy. That's quite impressive. Now, when it comes to this book about being grieving your father dying, in the press, or you say you lost your father when you were 31. So is that when you took over the business too? Because that is traumatic all by
I
itself.
actually, so good question. So I work with my brother. We're second generation, and my uncle actually founded the company 50 years ago. So my dad was not involved with this business in particular. So
Well, that's one less trauma at the few,
yeah,
it's
yes, absolutely,
you can
yeah.
go to the funeral without the accounting department chasing you down. That's nice. That
Yes,
helps.
yeah.
No, that's quite good. What I mean, this that obviously happened several decades ago, and then you've
Yes.
written this book now. What was it like to revisit those thoughts, those feelings now, as opposed to where you were with them back then?
Yeah. Hey, so my general message that comes out of this book, there's a great story, but what you see with Job and Delilah, them processing their own father's deaths, and it's really me processing my own 30 years ago. It's really finding a way to honor his memory, finding a way that I can take good action today that, yes, one, he could be proud of, but more importantly, to be able to make a difference moving forward. So how can I take action or do something today that honors my dad's memory and makes a difference moving forward? And that's the theme that will ultimately come through. You'll see the characters wondering and thinking and ultimately finding very, very different paths, but things that they can do that on, both honors their father's memory and makes a difference in things moving forward. And I found for me, I needed to have something actionable to get over that hump short term and frankly make a difference long term. So that's it's yes, it's personal, yet it's also very much since it's 30 years ago, the pain is very different. Okay, it's I've been processing it for a long time.
Yeah, that's the funny thing I find out that is how, as the years go by, your relationship to it all changes so very much. And that can be I mean, it's comforting at one level because it's not as raw, but it almost kind of feels like you're forgetting them, you're moving on, and that you almost feel guilty for that,
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yet at the same time, the pain does dull, no question about it. And there's what I've come to realize, being 61 years old now, what I've come to realize is these events happen to all of us sooner or later, and they've happened for generations. And so I'm really one of many that have gone through it and that will continue to go through it. And that's what actually inspired me for the Path series. The Path series has, it actually follows four generations of the fictional Boaz family. And that allows me to repeat the events that occur, yes, in my life or your life, but in the lives of these characters and their kids and the following kids. So that although you could say I've forgotten, I think I'm actually being reminded in ways that I think is honorable.
No. I mean that's what I think. I mean I think there's that tension there where it's not that, that's not the right, but that's what it feels like, sort of thing. But there's still, opportunities to kind of maintain that, that memory. And I think if anything, what's kind of frightening about that is, and it is especially true when someone is not terribly long lived, is how, someone's memory at some point will kind of die out as the generation of people that knew them passed on, and for me, I'm mindful of this. I come from a very small family, and I think about like my grandma passed when I was 15 unexpectedly, and it's kind of like the, yeah, I'm the youngest person who still remembers her. I'm 36 this year, sort of thing. And my cousin who has kids and all this type of thing, the children were born long after she had passed. They never knew her, all this sort of thing. So, in that way, it that, kind of fades out. And you look at, these, you end up, cleaning out someone's house. You have boxes of pictures of all of these people. You have no idea who they are, but they were all important at some time. Friends, family, people, all this type of thing. Their memory has been lost to the sands of time. And I think that is one of the odd things about, death within families is that, there's, if a lot of if they lived for a long time and a lot of people got to know them, then it lives on longer. But eventually, someday, everyone who remembered us will have passed. And we too will be another nameless face. No one will really know who we are.
Hey, Cameron, I've thought about that, exactly that. And so
That's a quite
here's
haunting
my,
concept.
here's my positive spin on that same exact. So first of all, you're 100% correct. Okay. Yet what I see is, and I've woven that into the 20 books. Grandpa Mosey's one of the founding characters in book one, and he has certain things he does and says and wants and values. And you see that mirrored in his children, to a lesser extent, his children. And by the time you get to the fourth generation doesn't know his great-great-grandpa. He just never met him. Yet many of those family values, many of those habits or desires or needs are often reflected in this book. I show that explicitly. You do live through those you touch. You do live through whether it's your children or the people you love in other ways, and they pass on through the generation. So in a small way, so first of all, you're right, you're forgotten, your name is gone, but in a small way, the people you touch today will carry that on in coming generations. So that's my way of putting a good spin on it.
Yes, when I think we also forget, both good and bad, how influential those things can be. And it doesn't necessarily take a long time. I've been working on a book about my grandmother's life,
Good.
that's kind of loosely based on her life. It's kind of I kind of took her life and reversed it to see what would happen. And one thing really became clear is that when you start to kind of unpack the decisions people made, all of a sudden you realize the problem. And for me, this was a big family healing thing. The problem does not is not necessarily the fault of the person who you think it is. And I had spent a lot of time sort of, blaming my mother for various and sundry things, not fully understanding. No, I'm the fourth generation endpoint of something that started about 75 years ago, and people have been making decisions all along the line and doing things all along the way. I'm just the outflow pipe. I'm just on the receiving end of it all. And that it really kind of opened my eyes become like, no, the someone made a decision in 1955 and it affects your life today because it affected this person's life, who then did this thing to this person, good or bad, who then did this good or bad. And so all of a sudden, there's this weird connection to say, yeah, you did that, and now I've got problems over here. Or this relationship was never that great because this, this person did to this person, did to this person, which happened, started with, you. So, and this is all of a sudden you find all these weird connections. It's a very odd thing. It's a very odd thing. But it's also giving me a lot of perspective and maybe some forgiveness. I'm not a huge fan of that word, but
Hey, that's a great. Cameron, that is kind of the essence of the storylines, the arc of the stories in the Path series. The decisions and things that occurred generations ago do echo in later generations. You're exactly right. And you know what? By you even attempting to write about her life, what I found for mine and these books, I've become, yes, you could say forgiving, but empathetic is the word I would use. I appreciate everyone has their motivations, everyone has their backstory, and I likely don't know most of everybody's backstory, but it doesn't make it invalid. It just means it's their story. So if it makes me listen a little bit better when somebody talks, then I think it made me a not just a better writer, but a better person.
No, that is 110% true. I think for me, it's also, and I don't know if you found this yourself, but it has also made it much harder for me to. I've had very unempathetic, very black and white thoughts about people, and it has definitely kind of broke that open, which I'm not happy about. Like,
Okay,
I
why?
mean, it's well. Because I don't, I'm the type of person, once I've made a decision about you, that's it. The jury is out. The decision has been made. All has been concluded. That's it. You're done now. Like, we've made our decision, move on. And it has really kind of forced me to open back up and get very nuanced about stuff. And that I can't stand that. That drives me nuts. Like, I'm a big fan of simple solutions. Simple solutions for complex problems. I'm not a huge fan of all, and especially when you get into these interpersonal stuff and all this type of thing. It all comes with tons of shades of gray and all this type of thing, which is all very difficult. But I mean, yeah, and it's, it really has, I really had to kind of revisit everything and have to get a lot more circumspect about people, things, and circumstances. Was there anything in all, I guess, all of these books you've written, all 20 of them? How has that changed your relationship to yourself, your family, all this type of thing?
I lead differently. I work differently. I'm better than I use. I'm a better person in my mind than I used to be. Mainly, I think because by my technique, if you will, was start with the characters, to understand the character, create the character, know why that character does what it does, and that bleeds into real life. You know, if I think, why are you doing what you're doing instead of what are you doing? Then I may understand, appreciate, and hopefully react in a better way. So I do bring what I call is I bring the past series to work with me now. I lead at the company, or I'm a better father or husband, having gone through some of these writings, if you will. So it's fun. I'm better for it. And my wife, I told her, I said, hey, when I first started this journey, I said, I'll write four of them. If they're not selling, then I'll quit. Okay. And she, about halfway through the second one, she's like, well, why would you quit? You know, you're doing so well, you're enjoying it. It's making you better. So she's like, in spite of whether or not they sell, okay, and we at that point we didn't know if it'd be a success, and so it was a kind of a gamble on the future, and now it is working out now. So we'll continue the journey.
No, that's absolutely
And
absolutely
one
that's
correction, just so you know, I don't have all 20 written. I have them concepted. I have two of them published, one of which is Path Unguided, we're talking about. Two more will come out this year, 2024. And then the following ones will come out in future years. So I've got
No,
them
that's
concepted.
exciting. No, that's exciting to know that we'll have more this year.
Yes.
No, yes, it's a very odd, yes, a very kind of crazy thing. I appreciate that. I think I think it's wonderful that you sort of opened yourself to that because it has been. I have found that process deeply unpleasant. We're gonna have a little true confessions right now.
There you go.
I grew up in a very abusive household growing up, so a lot of my reason for being was to kind of be the antithesis of that. A lot of my reason for being, especially as a younger person, was sort of, yeah, parents, fuck them, and the horse they rode in on. And now I find myself a great many years later, much wiser, much has happened, all this type of thing. I'm finding them very sympathetic characters, in a way that I, to be honest, don't like. And the situation has grown a lot more complicated and nuanced than I prefer, and that really stems from the fact that I've spent 4.5 years with my mother's family and be like, oh. So much of why she is the way she is makes sense now. And so it's really hard for me to be really mad and angry at her because I get it now. Because, and I told her as much. I said, really, and I told her to her face, I said, Mom, you were not well served by your parents. I get it now. Her father just passed a year ago. I said, you were not well served by your parents. And I get it. And she was the oldest of four. So when her parents, she didn't have functional parents of her own, guess who had to deal with the other three kids down the line? My mom being the oldest. So for her, she was getting it from both sides. She was getting it from both sort of thing. And I was like, yeah, I get it now. And it's really when you start to understand people at that level, you can't be angry at them so much anymore. And God, I hate that. I do. I'm gonna be honest, I hate that. It's much, much easier to have someone be a gruesome two-dimensional villain than a three-dimensional real person.
I'll support that. And so I'm a generation older than you, Cameron. And what I'll say is everything you just said just keeps getting more and deeper as you go. My mom is now 89 years old, and I know her in ways that I never knew at your age or growing up. And it continues to be an evolution. So I think what you're saying is spot on, spot on.
I think it is interesting. My mother's father just passed at 92 this year, and we've kind of had a wave of kind of the older generation starting to pass on. My dad's father passed several years ago. Mom's father finally passed. Obviously, my mother's mother passed all those years ago when I was 15, so she's been out of the picture for a while. All that, so it's and also everyone is has moved up a place as well too, whereas kind of like the it's like I'm over here being like the I'm on the downward slope of my 30s, like I'm going to be 40 this decade. Where did that come from? And then all of and then I'm kind of like my mother's gonna be in her 70s. Like that's weird. And it's odd because especially as people get older, like my mother was always a huge force of nature. This is not a woman you screwed with under any circumstances. And she was always so fierce, and it's kind of disturbing. She's turning into a little old lady. And it is the most crazy thing ever. Because it's kind of like the, she always loomed so large over everything and everyone and all this type of thing. It's a bit odd to not, have that as a thing. It's just time is such a perspective shift, and I will never get used to that, Because again, I like think like once I kind of decided about you, you are no longer allowed to change. You know, I don't need new information, new information, you know, sort of thing. But yeah, but the reality, time is such a perspective shift. You know, what was true 5 years ago may not be so true today. Or you've learned something new about it that changes how
There,
you think
I
about it.
get that's where I was going to go. There's some foundational things that do remain true through the generations. We just don't know that at the time. Okay, so your mom and probably her mom before that had these certain elements at age 36 that we were too young to know. And so I think there are foundational things that resonate through the generations, and you're illustrating it, frankly, I think.
Yeah, no, I think that's one of the things for me, the hardest part about has been the hardest part about getting older, and I think about this, you know, with something like, you know, your work is my perspective has changed so much as I have gotten older and lived my own life and made my own mistakes and gone down my own paths and all this type of thing. My perspective on all this stuff has changed so much. And that has been an interesting development, you know, in terms of the kind of like, well, I kind of get where they came from now in a way that I didn't before. But the flip side of that is I still have all the wounds and troubles and difficulties from all the things that they didn't do, that they weren't able to do, or things that they did do, whatever have you. But and here's where age is a bitch. I now also see how that's true for them. And it's kind of and so in that way, they have become these sort of very sympathetic people. That I don't want to be sympathetic, if I'm being honest, to be kind of like that, yeah, you know, really, it's yeah, when there's, you know, no one is perfect, and people, whatever they lack, whatever they don't have, will get passed on to them and their children and their children's children for quite some time. This stuff does go on. And I think, yeah, you can't. You really do have, kind of have to be a little bit kinder and nicer to your parents who really were doing the best that they could while they themselves were ill-equipped for the job because their parents probably didn't prepare them very well, whose parents probably didn't prepare them very well, sort of thing. And then, yeah, and so it's hard to be so, you know, if I went back to 2006 and told myself at 18 that I would be sitting on a recording talking about this, I would laugh in my own face. To be kind of like,
You wouldn't have been
no,
ready then.
we're not doing villain rehab. But here we are in 2024 being like that, yeah, no, things have shifted. I get it now in ways that I didn't necessarily understand before.
Hey, so you do understand a lot, and here's what I'm excited. I think you're the perfect spokesman for the PATH series, because what you're suggesting is generational is ingrained in the four generations in the PATH series. That's my first comment. The other one is forgiveness is a gift to yourself. Okay, so as you let go of some of these things, yeah, you could say I'm forgiving somebody else, but you're really letting go of the pain that's inside your heart. So you help yourself more than you help others with forgiveness. So I think you're going down a path that ultimately will be good for you personally. That's what I see.
No, thank you. Thank you. I definitely appreciate that. And I like the kind of way you're laying out the series because I similarly have started a series. It's a bit different. It's basically Downton Abbey set in the antebellum South. It starts in 1850. And there will be sort of a long-term element to it through the years, and we're already setting up some of that from the very beginning. So I like the way that your series, you know, kind of stands up and goes on. And one of the things I thought was very interesting is the way we grieve our fathers is very different than the way we grieve our mothers. And I think that's very interesting.
Yes, in fact, I've got two different books. One for grieving your father, the other one grieving your mother, because it is two different things. What I've seen and explore is your father has a certain role in your life. It may not be identical to my father, but there's a certain role that you play, he plays. The mother has a different role. And when the mother dies, I call that book Path Unwoven, because it's almost like a cloth that gets unwoven, that the family tends to drift apart when the matriarch dies. Whereas with the father, it's you're able to continue. Oftentimes, I won't say everybody, but oftentimes the family continues to rally around the matriarch in that example. So they're different situations. You're right. Yeah. Hey, so
No,
you know
that,
what?
yeah.
Go
No, that I'm so glad you said
Yeah.
that, because that has definitely been my experience, and I've seen other people have that experience, and it is, I think we kind of forget that, especially people live so much longer than they used to. So we get so many more years. So I think in some it's even kind of more shocking when it happens. But yes, matriarch passing is family chaos du jour, in a way that the man passing on oftentimes isn't as much. So in that way, us men folk are expendable. Anyway,
There you go.
you were gonna ask me something. Yes, I apologize.
Oh, so that gender-based reaction, if you will. The other one I realized just when I started writing the books, I've got one book called Path Enriched that is around embracing your first child. And when I was really digging into the mom and the dad, both of them, it was their first child, and their reactions and what would be common through not just generations, but through cultures and through the world. We all go through this. I really came to appreciate that the mother worry and bond with that soon-to-be child is so different than the father's worry and soon-to-be responsibilities. Okay, the father has all of a sudden the urge to provide and protect becomes bigger and bigger, whereas the mother is much more nurturing, and there's still a heavy protection side, but it's more about that bond with that child, where the character in my book, Job, what he begins to see is his responsibility for his now family, and he picks up on that. So we have oftentimes different roles and different reactions.
No, I think that's very important. I always, the especially, with modern relationships and all this type of thing, I've had more than one female friend who's divorced or whatever have you been like, I don't understand, how he could just leave his children behind. I could absolutely never do that. I don't understand. I said, your relationship to your children is different than a man's relationship to his children. And it just is. And part of that is biological reality, and part of that's the way we socialize it in our society. It's a little bit of both and there. And so it's, for some, it's not, a far cry thing. I said, but also I said, it's incredibly common throughout world history. The men had to leave to go to war. The problems, all this sort of thing happened, and that was, how we do that, how we handle that. There are probably billions of human beings that have grown up with an absent father, a dead father, whatever have you. These things happen. The relationship is different. That's why I think we consider, like in Disney, the mother has always died, and everyone kind of finds that funny. We consider that more traumatic because there's a greater sense of loss. And that has a lot to do with, that nurturing, protecting dynamic that you're talking about. That us gets into all of that. Is that the relationship is very different. In my mind, I think that's exciting. I think it's a good thing. I view it as incredibly positive, actually. Some people kind of, if it's, men, why can't they be more like women? They both, sort of thing. So it's a fascinating state of affairs. But all right, well, this is the time of the show when we do plugs. And so let us know where we can buy your book and where we can find you online.
Oh, very good. Okay. So, first of all, Amazon sells two-thirds of the books in the world. So clearly, Path Unguided is available on Amazon. But all the bookstores, including a growing number of local bookstores, carry it or could carry it if it's requested. So I would welcome anybody. The fun part about the book is you buy it for one, you come for the message almost. Let's say you want for the to help process your dad's death. You come for that, but you stay for the story. It's just a great story. Online is baldsolomon.com, and obviously at Facebook, just Google Bald Solomon.
Awesome. Well, excellent. Thank you so much for coming on the Cameron Journal podcast.
Hey, Cameron, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
That's all for this episode of the Cameron Journal podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Visit us online at CameronJournal.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And I love to talk to my followers and listeners, so please feel free to get us on social media at Cameron Cowan on Twitter. And we'll see you next time on the Cameron Journal podcast.